This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
Let's be honest, most people still assume that if someone raises a red flag about a teacher, it goes straight to the top. That the system works. That mandatory reporting laws kick in. That someone somewhere steps up and says, hey, this isn't right. But that's not how it works. Not even close. What? Yeah, sorry to break it to you. And you should be mad if you're a parent. You should be aware of these little factoids and make sure that your voice is heard about this issue. What we're about to unpack is how a teacher like Andrew McGann, who, according to multiple sources, had been the subject of disturbing, possibly predatory complaints, was allowed to quietly walk away again and again and again, all without so much as a black mark on his record. Just a clean resignation, a handshake, and a fresh start somewhere else. Till he landed in Arkansas, where two parents ended up dead on a hiking trail and their two daughters became survivors of something no child should ever have to witness. This isn't just one case. This is a pattern. And it has a name in education circles. It's called passing the trash. Districts that know something is wrong, but instead of reporting it, they shuffle the problem off to the next unsuspecting school. No warning, no flag, just another predator with a fresh classroom. Joining me today is Eric Faddis, defense attorney, former prosecutor, and a guy who doesn't pull punches. We're going to dig into how the legal system is supposed to work when it comes to protecting students and how it's actually working in real life. What are the laws? What do they break down, or where do they break down? And when do the actions or inaction of a school district raise to the level of criminal liability? Because here's the thing. When a system lets someone like Andrew McGann keep slipping through the cracks, or at least operating because that's how the system works, he didn't really slip through the cracks. He just kept gliding along a system that paved over their cracks with jello rather than concrete. This will work. They'll just go right over it for a while until they stop in that. These kind of sink right in. Believe me, I've tried paving a driveway in green jello before. It doesn't work. At what point does the system itself become culpable? So let's start there with Eric Faddis. Let's dig in. Take us inside the legal guts of mandatory reporting. What exactly is supposed to happen the moment a credible complaint is made against a teacher?
Essentially, mandatory reporting means that if you hold a designated position, such as a teacher, administrator, someone on school staff, and you reasonably suspect that there has been child abuse or neglect, you got to say something. You got to tell somebody. You know, there are multiple ways to report. Oftentimes it is to social services in that particular locale. Sometimes it's to law enforcement. But you have to say something because if you don't, no one else is likely to find out about this. And the abuse or neglect that might be going on could get worse.
Very true. Let's take a look here at the penalties that would exist, are supposed to exist anyway, for failing to report suspected abuse or grooming behavior.
Sure. So there can be disciplinary actions. Look, this is an obligation that these folks in the school system have. And it's not just the school system. There are therapist mandatory reporting requirements and in other contexts as well. And so if that obligation is violated, there can be sanctions such as suspensions, licensure, revocations, even sometimes terminations. That being said, it typically doesn't rise to the level of criminal liability, but there is certainly potential civil liability that can be imposed for someone who has not complied with these mandatory reporting requirements.
And that's an interesting thing, because what you have here is essentially two things, two violations going on. If some the action to which is being reported, and then the person, the reporters that are mandatory reporters, either not doing their job or doing their job within the confines of the institution's definition of reporting. So why are so many of these internal reports basically buried in HR? and handled by school lawyers and not going directly to CPS and law enforcement. I thought, and I think the general thought from most of us, we don't explore this very often, was that, okay, if there's a report, that goes to CPS. And then from there, it goes to wherever CPS goes with it. But it doesn't just end up in some teaching administrator's office downtown at the administration office and then go to die. Are they following the law, I guess, is my question. When a school gets it, a teacher gets something that they are mandatorily reporting and they report it back to the district, should it be going to the district or should it be going to CPS immediately and simultaneously to the district? What is the breakdown here line of thinking on how to handle this?
Yeah, Tony, you highlight a really important issue in this context because specific institutions, specific school districts, they have their own policies and procedures when it comes to mandatory reporting. And some would argue that those policies and procedures are designed to protect the institution, not the kiddo, not the potential victim who might be the subject of abuse or neglect. And so what happens far too often is that there is a report made, and so they're sort of going through the motions of reporting, but it remains within that institutional confine. And those institutions have an incentive to protect themselves, to try to eliminate any civil liability for the school district, for the school, for the administrators, that kind of thing. And so, you know, is there some incentive to sort of sweep things under the rug, to prevent it from becoming too public? You know, I thought reporting was supposed to be, let's make this public, let's make this known. But it seems like the policies and procedures work against that.
Well, at least make it known to authorities. I mean, the district administrator, whoever it is that gets the HR person, it's not law enforcement. It's not anybody that's going to be able to take this and prosecute it or look at it deeper. They can evaluate it on the internal side. I mean, is this just, it should be more black and white, I guess. I would think if it's mandatory reporting, it's mandatory reporting to CPS. Now, CPS is already overworked and they don't have time to do their own job as it is to begin with, but you get it over to CPS and it's supposed to go from there, but it's not getting there in many areas. It seems to sit in this gray zone. Are schools being compliant if they're not reporting it over to CPS, if they're doing their internal investigation? And I get it, if an internal investigation finds that this is legit and is bad, it ends up over at CPS. But sometimes those internal investigations are very half-assed, or they're just, let me sit down with a teacher over coffee. Did this happen? No, they must be overreacting. Okay, great. That's the internal investigation. I'm not saying all districts do that, but we've seen a lot that do. So are the schools in violation of not reporting these things to CPS while they simultaneously launch their own internal investigation? Is that a fault? Is that breaking the law on their part?
You know, it depends in part on in which jurisdiction the school sits. You know, there is not some sort of federal law that applies uniformly that says, hey, if this happens, you have to report it to X, Y, and Z. It's not like that. And so it varies by jurisdiction. A good example in this Andrew McCann case is where he was an elementary school teacher, and there were some concerning statements that were allegedly made by the teacher that were overheard and that were reported. And we can go into those when you want.
Yeah.
But my understanding is that those are reported internally and there was an investigation, but there was no sort of CPS action taken, no social services action taken, and no criminal charges filed. And so when that happens, it remains within that little bubble of the institution. It's certainly inconsistent with the spirit of mandatory reporting laws. Whether it complies with the specific laws within that jurisdiction is sort of a disjointed analysis across the country.
And that's the thing. It's always, well, does it rise to the level? Does it rise to the level of it being reported to CPS? I mean, I get it to a certain extent where, well, let's number one, make sure this thing is legit, which I think there are plenty of ways to do that without just relying on people's, you know, secondhand accounts of everything. Mandatory body cameras on teachers might be a lovely way to solve this problem, but that's not where we're at right now. So What would actually happen to a district legally if they failed to report something and that person, you know, went on to do something, you know, obviously within that district would be certainly a problem. But what about when they do this thing of, you know what, we've got these complaints. They're not necessarily up to the level of criminality that would likely be prosecutable, but it's icky. And we don't like it continuing here, so we're going to let you resign, and we'll give you your recommendation, because that seems to be what often happens so often. How what could happen to those schools legally if that's how they handle it? Because that seems to be the trend.
So in my opinion, there could surely be massive civil liability for those schools. They could be on the hook for something that happens in the future because they had information and that presented at least a colorable risk of harm to a child. And they didn't take appropriate action, especially if they didn't comply with that state's mandatory reporting requirements. And then something happens later on. Well, that incident was foreseeable. And this institution should have taken further action to protect against it, or to at least have that information out there to try and mitigate the likelihood of this happening in the future. So, you know, in my opinion, those folks could be on the hook for millions of dollars when we're talking about a future SA on a child, or we're talking about a future violent action that was at least foreseeable and for which there were red flags, and those red flags were ignored. It sounds like that may have been what happened in this Andrew McCann case.
So let's just take a breath here, because what we've just laid out is frankly insane. You've got laws on the books, mandatory reporting laws that are supposed to protect kids from exactly this kind of danger. And yet the way they're actually enforced, it's more like a polite suggestion, a suggestion that a whole lot of school districts seem comfortable ignoring if it means avoiding a scandal, a lawsuit, or just tough conversations. As Eric pointed out, this isn't just a policy failure. It's a systematic breakdown where administrators decide to handle it internally. What they're really doing is keeping it quiet, burying it, hoping it goes away. And when it doesn't, and when someone like Andrew McGann resurfaces in a new school with no record and no accountability, we all act shocked. Oh, how could this be happening? Well, we shouldn't be. The warning signs are there. The gaps in the system were wide open and no one patched them. And here's the bigger problem. Even when a district does investigate and find something concerning, unless they report it formally to Child Protective Services or law enforcement, it doesn't follow the teacher. That history just sits in a file cabinet. More often, it disappears with a resignation letter. No charges, no flag. In a national database. No heads up to the next school. It's like a last district hit delete and sent a predator packing with a clean slate and a glowing reference. And if you're thinking that can't possibly be legal, you're not wrong. But the law only works if someone enforces it. And right now there's no accountability baked into this process. It's all discretionary, which means it's all avoidable. What we're dealing with is not just a bad actor. It's a bad system, a system that prioritizes reputational damage over student safety, that tiptoes around adult discomfort while ignoring child protection. And that, let's be blunt, functions a lot more like a CYA operation than a watchdog. So the question we're left with is this. If these mandatory reporting laws are more loophole than safeguard, what needs to change? Who's responsible for fixing it? And what would real accountability actually look like? That's where we're headed in our next conversation with Eric Faddis. Be sure to press subscribe so you don't miss it. It's coming up. We're going to drop it very, very soon here on the feed. In fact, tomorrow. And maybe it's already there. Go ahead and watch that too. But press subscribe so you don't miss any of our reporting. Whether it's on YouTube, just search Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi, or on the podcast platforms, do the same search and press subscribe. And let us know in the comments what your thoughts are on this case, on this issue. Your voice is what matters, and the only way this stuff gets fixed is if people see this, watch it, and are motivated to do something. So like it, share it, let people know about the problem if you're just as shocked as I was when I heard about it, because people need to know. You got kids, you got family, you got friends that got kids, let them know. This is a problem, and it only works if we're all paying attention. Until next time, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now, and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.